Dusty's out somewhere. If anybody sees our dog, please let me know about it.
Well, he's not blue.
Yeah. He's blind and deaf.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
well, he could be.
Oh, well,
it came
out.
When did she get out?
Huh?
When did she get out?
Yesterday evening, as I can tell.
Romans 10. We made it, we're now at verse 20. Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now he's quoting Isaiah, obviously, so let's go to Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was called, that was not called by my name. Isaiah 65, verse 1. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that is was not good, and after their own thoughts. Now, my experience is that it agrees with verse one here. I am found of them that sought me not. You know that there is not one example in the scriptures for an altar call? There's not one example of cajoling people to come to him. That's kind of big. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible for him to find you if you're seeking him or if you're. But if you're, it seems to me axiomatic that if you're seeking him, you're seeking him for a reason. You've all heard me talk a great deal about the first couple years after I became a believer. I went to church every time a church was open. I mean, because I had to find a place. I knew that. And every place I went, you know, there's a lot of great places, I'm sure. But for me, every single time that the preachment was about how to get something from God, I got nauseous. And that's a big deal. We're back to that, I've suffered the loss of all things. Whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. Because you can't possibly seek him without wanting to gain something from him. And this is the great sin of the of modern evangelism, that it sanctifies getting something from God. Now, and of course you get all kinds of stuff from God, but if you seek Him to get something, I think that you're going to be deceived. I think that you can do that without having your heart circumcised, without having your ears circumcised. And I think this is what the description is in Matthew 13, when it talks about the seed and the sower. And we'll go to there in a minute. But can you see what the dynamic is here? Because otherwise you will never endure chastisement, because you will believe that you have an entitlement. And your entitlement is, you know, not to pick on anybody, but your entitlement is, I've come here every day, I'm da 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 da. I mean, you can see it in, you know, Kenneth Copeland or Oral Roberts or all those guys. I mean, it's obvious. They're teaching you to be and to have a sense of entitlement. But here, you see it. I'm sure you've seen it in me. But my God, I hate it. And this is sort of kind of basic. This is what separates to me the wheat from the chaff. Is this hitting anybody besides me? How important this is? John? Gary, what's going on?
I like the way this takes it down to the nut cutting. It's tire meet the road. All the cliches are right at this point, because this is what separates religion from spirit, God from everything else.
John?
Me, John?
You, John.
Yeah. So it's a conflict when you see it says, you found of them that sought me not. It's like, how does that work? But that's the way God does it.
They're
just going along, and God.
Yeah, that was my experience. That was Harry's experience.
That thing you said about to Dean Mushikarian about God's messed up my life today, just like He does every day. I wouldn't go quite that far, but I really do understand that what that means. I mean, just if you're in the ultimate sense one of the lucky ones, He starts screwing with you. Just knocks things over and screws things up, and one by one starts taking stuff away.
The scriptures where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be made unto you, or shall be. The probably a better translation of that, I'm being facetious, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and act like you found Him. And then find a bunch of other people that are acting like they found Him.
Well, they have found something. Positive thinking.
The power of positive. They found Joel Osteen.
Form of godliness.
And then in order to sustain the illusion,
life of your own hand.
They have to, they must teach how-tos. But what about the people that aren't able to do the how-tos? That's who the gospel is to.
knows they must have secret sin in their life to be able to do it.
You're mumbling.
I said, everyone knows they must have secret sin in their life or they'd be able to do it. Sorry, I was being facetious too. Started something.
But this is the line of demarcation, I think. Are you raising your hand or are you waving? Or do you have to go to the bathroom?
I'm great. How about you'll have treasures in heaven?
How about it?
Sounds like an incentive to me.
What might those treasures be?
Eye has not seen nor ear. The problem is that you end up putting what you define as treasures on that word.
Golf courses in heaven.
And that becomes a meaningless thing. Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man. That means you can't imagine what it is. It doesn't mean, oh, all these good things. The bottom line is that as a believer, we must lose the capacity to think that the state we are in should be different than it is. No matter what it is, whether it's illness or poverty, whether it's chastisement or pleasure, whether it's blessed or cursed, it's there by the hand of God. I mean, to me, this is so critical, this whole understanding, because otherwise, I promise you that if you continue in the mystery, or the alleged mystery, you will have to become a hypocrite. You will have to act. You'll have to be quiet, not really tell anybody what's going on with you. You'll want anonymity and you certainly don't want to be challenged about anything. And you certainly don't want to be exhorted. But if you only knew whatever that means. Because the evilness of your own heart will be exposed. And so you live in this ungodly, god-awful place of a constant acting. And then your mind plays these tricks on you. It causes you to be even able to forget. And so you create memories that are lies. All in order to have a place to stand. Because how can I possibly empty everything where I have no justification for my life? I've got to create something to give me justification. Am I talking to anybody? Am I reading anybody's mail? I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, with a nation that was not called, unto a nation that was not called by my name. And again, nation is the word am. It just means unto the people that were not called by my name. But those that have called on my name I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. They decide what religion or they decide what outward appearance we must have in order to have this mystery. In order to act, and then it's a common, I mean, everybody agrees to it, and you have big crowds of people. People that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. That's what your thoughts are.
Excuse me, that thing, altars of brick, just screams out as a contrast to altars of stone, which is not hewn by man. It's like you've got a man-made thing.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens. It's interesting that most Bibles, they have that little dealie, if you look at it, and it says that the gardens are pagan shrines, and then the burnt incense is like another thing of a pagan shrine. And so it all objectifies it. It's out there somewhere. They can't possibly see that that pagan shrine is their head. And the offerings that you make for redemption are continual. And you're controlled by the molten images, the ones that control your emotions. Oh, it just came upon me. But you can't possibly think you should repent from that, because it's the only religion you've ever known. The religion of acting instead of being. So you need to make notes for your sermon. You need to learn by rote what the Bible says. It's just a stench in the nostrils of God. You're doing it again, Gary.
The thing you just said about if you can't speak from your heart, then there's nothing in there. And that's when you have to make notes and be a... You know,
well, there's something in there, all right.
Yeah, but it's not what you want to let out. Let people see.
People that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. And this is the kicker, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Now what are these things? What are the which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains? What are they? The graves, the monuments of brick, are the stuff you learned by tradition of men. The stuff you learned. You understand that? And so you revert to the familiar. That's why I'm saying in him you can make no reference to the past. Because then you are burning incense and offerings and laying them on the altar of brick. This it's got to be hitting you somewhere. Oh, this is the way I think it should be, and they're not, that person isn't acting in the manner that I'm, so I'm going to separate myself so I won't get polluted by their unholiness.
I'm hearing all this speaks to living in the moment. No other place that you can live and be. You can't be living in the future and be now.
What does it mean to eat swine's flesh? Do you have any idea? The swine is so self-seeking that they will even eat their young if they get hungry enough. And that's why it's the swine's flesh is what the human race eats. That's all they can eat because of they're hardwired by the curse. When it benefits them to do good, they'll do good. When it benefits them to do evil, they'll do evil. And everything is an act. And the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. All broth of all the abominations that, from God's standpoint, that try to give you worth. Your genealogy is a broth of abominable things. Who your parents are is a broth of abominable things. Anything that tries to give you worth other than from His blood is an abominable, you're eating urine and drinking urine because what you're doing is you're gaining sustenance and worth from something somebody else does. Can you understand this broth of abominable things?
Yes.
What, John?
What?
No expansions on the tail? Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You don't really, you never say those words.
One thing I do have to say is, when you're reading these things, this is an example of being found by those who do not seek me, because you read through them, and this, they're not apparent. You know, the surface meaning of what the stuff you're talking about is under there. You know, and so you're reading along, and either through preaching or through God just, you know, opening your eyes, you see these things, and it's like, those aren't the things that you're seeking for. You don't want to see those things. But, you know, suddenly, there it is. And you're suddenly, you know, you found Him, and but you're found out at the same time. That's what happened.
And so, but there's got to be repentance, or, because if there's the slightest hint of self-justification, then you've left the mercy seat. Do you understand? You don't even want to be anywhere near the mercy seat. If you think you have any righteousness at all, if you think if there's the slightest need in you to be right about something, you. The mercy seat is the last place in the universe you ever want to be. Everybody understand that a little bit? Well, I just want them to be merciful about this one issue over here. But I'm right about this stuff over here. No, it doesn't work that way. Tom. And I promise you, if you can hear these words and live in any other place other than constant repentance, you're a fool. And have the slightest even tinge of entitlement. This isn't fair. You don't treat me like you treat other people. All right. These are a smoke in my nose. A fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore I will measure the former work into their bosom. That's probably enough for today.
Altar's made of brick.
I was thinking the same thing. If I remember correctly, an altar has to be made of unhewn stone.
That's right.
Or anything else is something that you had to put together for your own religion.
That's right. It's the same. It's the same parable as why It's not. We're not quite done. 1 John 5 or 4.
First John.
We're almost done. No, it's 1 John 3. Chapter 1 John chapter 3 verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel offered the sacrifice, the blood. Cain dug around in the earth, trying to come up with solutions. It's the same parable, different way of saying it, of building your brick. I mean, your altars of brick. You're digging around in the earth, trying to find out, trying to figure out something to say, some way of acting.
Cecil B. DeMille didn't do anybody any favors. I'm sure that Cain was an upright guy. He'd have gotten elected president, or he'd have, you know, been in the Chamber of Commerce. He'd have done something, because he was doing the right thing.
What does Cecil B. DeMille have to do with anything?
The Ten Commandments, only I realize you probably haven't seen it ever, but there's a movie. And when they got to the part of Cain and Abel, they showed Cain, you know, taking back some of the offering with a real sly look on his face. All I'm saying is that didn't do us any favor, because Cain was probably the kind of guy you'd like to have as your next door neighbor. He'd keep his house and he'd do whatever he was supposed to do because he did it right.
Okay, you're right. But I thought the...
Is that in the movie?
I don't think that was in the
movie. Remember that one, Ten Commandments?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's the other one he did, the big one.
Bible?
Yeah. Yeah, he did the whole Bible or something like that.
Only an apology.
Well, I owe him an apology. Sorry, it was the wrong movie. Right director, wrong movie.
It's the same as a snake being led by his belly, and the dust is all he can eat. All this stuff is revealed in the communion, in the afikoman. You can hear. Every time we take the wine and drink the wine and take the bread, it's all this stuff is coming into play. It's not anything mysterious or difficult. Stay in 1 John real quick. First John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, who are the he's? There's only two he's. It's he that's in you, or the God of this world, the God of time and space. But you got to stop trying to make yourself acceptable to this one that has the right of first, the right of kinship. You're trying to, everything you do, when you're trying to do the right thing and succeed and do the best you can and all that crap, you're trying to make yourself the one, the acceptable to the wrong deity. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's not just talking to all them or somebody else. It's what are you giving breath to? What are you giving value to? We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The most arrogant statement that has ever been made. Love not the world. Love is a verb. Nor the things that are in the world. That's chapter 2, if you want to find it, verse 15. Love not the world. If you are loving the world, if you are giving breath to the things of the world, then you're giving breath. It proves that your environment is in time and space instead of eternity. That's why the only thing, the only question, and we don't have any way of saying this in English, but it's a whole location of sphere. What sphere of influence are you living in? Is it eternity or is it time and space? That's the entire battle. You can only be in eternity in him because he alone came from the Father. So there are no options, no how-tos. In him, rest. In the world, turmoil. Wherever you look, you'll see something wrong. You try to convince yourself you're better than somebody. I am found of those that sought me not. Amen? This didn't touch anybody? Are you? Yes, there you are.
Yeah, I've got a question. I'll take you back to where we started, an altar call.
He's going to find an altar call.
No, I'm not going to find an altar call. I'm going to ask, what is different between an altar call and what Peter said on Pentecost, repent and be baptized? What's the difference? Enlighten me. I haven't been to churches that had altar calls much. So clue me in.
Okay, close your eyes. All you that haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, all you an altar call by definition is talking somebody into the kingdom. Peter is saying repent and be baptized. No promises. Life isn't going to be made any better.
Forgiveness of your sins, that's a big improvement.
What does that mean?
It means I'm not going to be penalized for my sins the way I was.
Did you ever worry about that?
I haven't worried enough.
No, because most people don't even worry about it.
I've known one or two who have.
I said most.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The sin is the self-seeking, and you can't even the whole thing. I mean, it's you're baptized in your debt. You're buried in baptism. Baptizing isn't just getting wet. You cannot talk about baptism without talking about your death. Otherwise, you just got wet. You cannot speak of the forgiveness of your sins without your death. Otherwise, you're just believing in, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something screwy. His blood is now our blood. I mean, because we are a new creature. So the whole old is, everything old has passed away. Am I communicating at all, or am I just rambling again? You can't save your life.
I would add, there's one other significant difference between the altar call and what Peter said. And that was that Peter's was a response. The guy said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered the question. An altar call is never an answer to a question. It's an entirely different thing.
Well, don't get me wrong, I'm not against altar calls. I mean, God will sort it all out. But I'm just saying that I've got to be faithful to what I see. God will sort it all out.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, in referring to an altar call, it's manipulation and, enticements, all focused on a moment that's supposed to be a thing.
It's like being in the salesman's office at the car dealership when he's saying, "Okay, now what's it going to take to get you in this car today?"
Well, my problem with evangelism as it's practiced in here, I mean in the world, is it's like if people are truly born again, then the evangelist moves on and they're left out in the street somewhere, or especially when they do it by television. Because if there's someone that's truly born again, then it's like
abandoning
an infant. The problem is that people, even in our minds, we think that salvation is the end. Salvation, or being born again, is the merest of the beginning. It's that one journey that all men must take to go from the Egypt to the mercy seat. That's the purpose of the Old Testament, is to show us that the mystery of that journey. All right. I'm putting somebody to sleep. Take a big guy.
I was entering into that rest.
Thank you for enlarging on that.